From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
You think about a roller coaster. Whee, how free that is. You know, it's fun, but I tell you what, without rails, steel rails, immovable rails that hold that thing in place, it would be a surefire recipe for destruction. Oh, we say, no, I don't want any rails. I just want to be on the roller coaster and be free. Yeah, you're gonna die is what you're gonna do.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, president of New Hope Christian College in Eugene, Oregon.
In 1 John, it says that if we want to abide in Christ, we need to walk in the same manner as he walked. Well, sounds a little easier said than done, doesn't it? How do you walk as Jesus walked? Well, funny you should ask. Pastor Wayne is coming along in just a moment to teach us how. It's a message entitled, Getting Beyond Good Intentions.
You know, and it sounds funny, but it's true. The more you do that, you train your senses. And then when it's done, you realize, oh, that was the right thing to do. That was the best thing to do. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to practice, because practice helps you to get beyond good intentions. So the first is the plank. The first plank is the plank. What was that again? There's a P word. Practice, practice. Practice what is right. Practice. The second is, if you're going to practice what is right, you're going to have some guardrails on your life. Because as the hymn writer says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. I've got to put parameters. So the second plank that you put down to get beyond good intentions, would you write down, set parameters in place and respect them. Set parameters in place. Guardrails on your life, road signs, directional signals. Because if you don't set parameters in place or borders or limitations, you will squander your life. You've got to do it for yourself. You got to set them in place. Listen carefully. Sooner or later, you're going to have to answer this one question. You're going to have to answer it. Here it is. Will I match what I believe to the way I want to live, or will I match the way I live to what I believe? You see, a lot of us say, well, I'd like to just match what I believe to the way I live. So what I do is I spiritualize what I'm doing. I rationalize it. I even find a couple of scriptures to give credibility to the way that I want to live. And I get some people who agree with me and confirm that. And so now I can live the way I want to live, and I've spiritualized that, and it removes all the guilt. I'm fine. And I cannot tell you how many people buy into that. And they make up their own religious ways. And basically, it's just to remove a mental guilt so they can live the way they want to live and think they still have God's pleasure. Will I match what I believe to the way I want to live, or will I match the way I live to what I should believe and what God's word says? Well, my prayer is that we will choose the second one. That means we say, I'm going to match the way I live to what I believe. Well, if that's going to happen, we're going to need some guidelines. We're going to need some parameters. We're going to need some borders on the side. We've got to move that way. So what do you do? Well, let's read what Jeremiah 31:21 says. Let's read it out loud. Go. Set up for yourself road marks. Place for yourselves guideposts. Would you underline the words, the first four? Set up for yourself. No one's going to do it for you. Set up road marks, guideposts, guardrails. Now, it's not easy, but you got to do that. To say, I'm not going to think that way. Because you're going to have your mind drift. You got to set up mental guardrails. How many times I'm driving in the car and my heart, prone to wander, starts to wander. And as soon as I catch it, this is what I say. When my thoughts go weird or immoral, I just say, I reject that. I reject that thought. Or if something that someone has bilked me in or betrayed me in starts to come back and I start to dwell on, I just shake my head and I say, I reject that. Nope, I ain't going that way. Not thinking about that. Nope. I start singing a song or whatever, telling myself a joke or anything. But I will not go that way. I've got to set up for myself roadblocks, guardrails, because I want to go in a certain direction. You say, Wayne, that sounds so limiting and restricting. That's what I don't like about you Christians. You're so restrictive and so limiting. Never let the devil lie to you to say to you that you want a borderless life, that you can just be free and do anything you want to. Listen to this. A river without riverbanks. A river without riverbanks. You know what it's called? A big swamp. Think about it. Force without any controls is called an explosion. Fire without any controls or limits, it's called an inferno. A road without road markers or road signs, you know what that's called? Lost. A mind without any disciplines, it's called insanity. A life without disciplines is a life wasted. You think about a roller coaster. Whee, how free that is. You know, it's fun, but I tell you what, without rails, steel rails, immovable rails that hold that thing in place, it would be a surefire recipe for destruction. Even roller coasters require limits and rails. Oh, we say, well, no, I don't want any rails. I just want to be on the roller coaster and be free. Yeah, you're going to die is what you're going to do. And like the freeway, they have a dotted, broken white line in the middle. You stay on this side and you stay on that side. Well, that's pretty limiting. I pay taxes for the whole thing, not just half. No, you remove those white lines and that asphalt becomes an interstate morgue. You see, when you set up parameters, it doesn't remove direction and meaning and fruitfulness, it adds. Don't ever let the devil lie to you and say, well, you just need to get rid of all of these guardrails. Just be free. It is a surefire recipe for destruction. But I want you to know that the Bible says here, set up for whom? Yourself. Road marks. Place those road marks, those guideposts. You got to do that. Why? You got to set guardrails, mental disciplines, internal guideposts, personal riverbanks, signposts. Why? Let's read what it says in Proverbs 23:19, and let's see what wisdom says. Would you read it with me? Go. Listen, my son, and be wise, and direct your heart in the way. Underline, direct your heart. You know why wisdom says direct your heart in the way? Because our hearts need directing. Don't let your heart just go. Makes romantic songs, but it destroys lives. Your heart needs to be directed. And you direct it, not by feelings and emotions and moods. You direct it by the Word of God. And if God says, don't set your affections on that person, that's not who you're supposed to set your affection on. You've got a husband, you've got a wife, you got this, you got that. Be careful. Don't let your affection go. And you stop that. I set guardrails on it. If I don't, you would have affairs with 20, 30 people by now. You set guardrails on it. You practice that and you set parameters and respect them. Every single one of us has to direct our heart in the way because our hearts need directing. They say, oh, all these signposts and stuff, that's so like restricting. No, when I got on my motorcycle at Billings and I had to ride 3 days back home by myself, going there, we had two of the motorcycles that had GPS units on it. And these little things that just kind of show you which way to go because motorcyclists often take back roads so that we can kind of spin and turn. Well, I want to take some back roads back 3 days now, going through Wyoming and Yellowstone and down into Idaho and across Idaho and into Oregon. And so I wanted to take some nice back roads, but I didn't have a GPS. So I have to do maps, just old-fashioned maps. Now, in Hawaii, we don't use maps. So I pick up this map and go, whoa, this bugger has plenty of lines all over this thing, yeah. So all I knew was I was going from Billings and I just find this road here and an intermediate stop is, let's say, a town called Warm Springs. So I say, okay, I'm going to go through. I got to get to Warm Springs. Once I'm in Warm Springs, then I'll pull the map out and see where the next stop is. So I'm going to Warm Springs and it says Warm Springs, 148 miles away. So I know I just got to go down this road, this road, that road, this road. So you're going down these back roads, and I'm just hitting back roads. Now, if there's a sign that says Warm Springs, 148 miles, at least I know I'm on the right road. So I'm just riding, and I'm going through these back roads. It's getting dark towards evening, and strange people are back there in these back roads, you know, in these places. And I've never been there. I'm looking for a sign. Am I on the right road? I need a road mark. I can just see old farmers coming out. Figure like an Appalachia mountain people are coming out. Getting out of there. And then it says, Warm Springs, 89 miles. Yeah, I'm on the right road. I tell you, I was so excited. I had more worship experiences when I saw road signs than I have in most churches. Road signs don't bother me. They give me confidence. You set them up so that you know that you're on the right road. And God gives you little splices of confidence, snippets of confidence that says you're on the right road and you're moving beyond good intentions and your love is starting to mature and it requires parameters. Now, let me just say this to some of you. You know, friends can be good parameters if they usher you to God's best. Some of my best friends, this sounds crazy, but some of my best friends I don't spend that much time with. Because see, you think that your best friend is just someone you buddy-buddy with all the time. I buddy-buddy with people, but my best friends are those that I know that when I ask them a question or when I spend time with them, they're always ushering me towards God's best. I have some people I buddy-buddy with, but they say they can be friends that aren't guardrails. In fact, they say, get rid of the guardrails. Let's go do this. Let's do what? It's just fun. They don't care how it affects my marriage, my future, anything. My kids, nothing. They just want to have fun with me. So they're some of my friends that remove guardrails. But I've got to choose friends really wisely and collect them. Because one of the greatest treasures you can have in life are friends that usher you to God's best. Those are called best friends. Those that remove guardrails, I tell you, prune those. Prune them. I mean, don't throw, you know, prune them. Don't throw prunes at them, but clean them out. Doesn't sound good. Prunes, clean out. It does that, but what I mean is move away from them and choose good friends. I have a man named Noel Campbell that when I was a youth pastor in Oregon, I went to Hilo. For some reason, God said to Noel, you got to go with him. Go help him. Go help that boy. And so he picks up, sells everything, and moves to Hilo just to help, to give me advice and wisdom. And he was older, 65 or something. And now that I'm getting up to that age, he was very young man when he came to help me. And he would give me advice, elderly advice. He would kind of steer me in the right direction, listen. He'd be a backboard. He would just constantly usher me to the Lord. And you know, after all, and we don't spend that much time together. He lives up in Spokane. And so we don't see each other. But you know, I still consider him as one of the best friends God has ever put in my life. One of the best. And I remember one day, remember when we were collecting pogs? Did any of you do that? It's these bottle caps that dairies put in to, you know, stop these the milk bottles. And we used to collect them. And because someone once said, Wayne, if you collect pogs, you know, those bottle caps, you'll be like a millionaire one day. It'll be better than collecting baseball cards. Oh, man, I just started, you know, hoarding these things. And how many of you did the same thing and just as dumb as me? Yeah, okay, all right. So now we just have pogs. But one day I came to Noel. And I said, Noel, look at all the pogs I have. I'm going to be a millionaire. I said, Noel, some people collect baseball cards. I collect pogs. What do you collect? And he looked at me and he said, I don't collect pogs or baseball cards. I said, well, what do you collect? He said, I collect friends. Have you ever heard someone say something and you think in your mind, I wish I would have said that? I thought, man, that's so good. I wish I would have said that. Oh, but you know, I've never forgotten that. And what he was saying is, Wayne, the greatest treasure you will have in life is when you know how to collect good friends. Because they can be parameters on your life to guide you and guard you. you've got to set up for yourself parameters. So the two planks that'll help you to get from good intentions to successful life and living, the first was, it's a big one, practice. Practice what is right, even though you don't feel it. You train your senses by practice because you know it's the right thing to do and what God is saying. And the second is set, parameters that you respect, whether it be mental parameters, heart parameters, where your affections go. You set up guardrails. No one's going to do it for you. You better do it yourself. And please do that. And I'm not above begging. Beg you, please, set up guardrails. It will keep you from many a misfortune. And the third thing is, not only practice and set up parameters, but the third thing is, would you write down, then establish measurable proofs of your faith. Third P word, proofs of your faith. Because you see, what makes your faith so valuable is not just the fact that you believe. You know what the Bible says? Even the devil believes. You ask the devil, is Jesus Lord? Oh, yeah, I believe. But there's no proof of his belief. There's no proof of his faith. You know what God is saying? What is most valuable about your faith is what it has produced in your life. Is there any proof? Can someone point at it and say, okay, it's measurable? That's exactly what the scripture says. Let's read it here in 1 Peter 1:7. Go. So that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, when Jesus is revealed and we see him face to face, you know what's going to give him praise and glory and honor? Not our faith. It's the proof of our faith. What has it done? Is there any proof of that? Has it changed our community? Has it changed our life, our family, the way we speak, the way we think? Is it more like Christ? Is there any proof? And you've got to look at measurable proofs of your faith. Is there any solid evidence, or is there just a lot of good intentions in my life? Well, I intend to tithe. I want to give. Okay, Wayne, let me look at your checkbook. No. Where's your checkbook? I don't know. I lost them. You see, is there proof? Do you read your Bible? Oh, yeah, I read my Bible. I love to read. I intend to. I yearn to. I desire to. Okay, let's look at your Bible reading bookmark. Are those little things checked off? Are you reading it all? Can I see it? No. Where is it? I don't know. Yeah, you see, there's got to be proof. Proof. Do you love your wife? Oh, I love my wife. Do you spend any time with her? Yeah, do you go shopping with her? For me and Anna, I have to go shopping with her. Otherwise, I'll be broke tomorrow. I got to watch her. Some people see us downtown and I'm holding Anna's hand. They think, oh, how romantic. Actually, if I let go of her hand, she shops. Just teasing. But do you love your wife? Do you take her out for dinner? Oh, I intend to. When? Next year sometime. When? On my anniversary. When's your anniversary? I don't know. Oh, so you don't do it. Well, no, but I love my wife. In my heart. Prove it. Let me look at your calendar. Is there time that you spend with her? Do you do anything together? Anything? Is there any proof of your faith? No, then that's what's valuable. It's not the faith. It's the proof. You understand? It's the proof. It's got to be something measurable. You open up your calendar. You put it in. God, what are you saying? You put it in. And then you follow through. How? Practice. Oh, I don't feel like taking her out for dinner. Just practice taking her out. Just practice. Oh, what if I don't have the emotion? Just practice. And then set parameters in place. Yeah, but my friend asked me to go fishing. No, set parameters. If I'm going to spend time with so-and-so, I'm going to do my devotions, I'm going to set parameters. I cannot get up in the morning. Set parameters. You're in bed at 10. Yeah, but my favorite television program, come on at 10:30. Parameters. Borders. Oh, that's limiting. No. No, no, you don't want to get rid of those rails. Otherwise, you'll be free and dead. Set parameters. I still set parameters on my schedule. When I go to sleep, all those things, when I get up, I set parameters. And you know, it's the best thing I've ever done that'll get me beyond good intentions. And when Jesus comes and you see him face to face, you know what? There will be praise and glory and honor. No, it won't be, I wish I coulda, shoulda. No, it will be praise and glory and honor. And we want that to start with us right here. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Would you stand with me as we conclude? Three planks. I forgot what they were. They all started with P, though. The first plank is practice. Practice what is right. And the second is set parameters in place to give you clarity and direction. And the third is establish proofs of your faith. Not just faith, proofs. So that there's measurable proof. And I can say, yep, there it is. When that happens, you'll have three planks upon which you can build a bridge over a chasm that separates good intentions from a truly fruitful, successful life. It'll be one of the most important bridges you'll ever build in your life. If you've never received Jesus Christ, you've intended to, do it today. Do it today. I want to give you an opportunity to do that. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray? If you're here and you say, you know, Wayne, I need to do that. I need to set in stone the fact that I made a decision to follow Christ. Oh, my feelings and my mood, even my doubts might war against me, but I know it's right. In the end, God is going to be true. And so I won't just have an intention. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it now. I'm going to set it in place. And if that's you and you say, yes, I want to receive Christ as Lord and Savior, and I want to do that today, I need forgiveness. God knows I need forgiveness. Lord, would you change my heart and make me the person you want me to be? I call you Lord and Savior. If that's you, would you just raise a hand right now and say, that's my prayer. Yeah, okay, yeah, that's my prayer. Yep, yeah. I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna set it in stone. That today, I said yes to Christ, okay? You can put your hands down. Would you pray this prayer with me, and then we'll conclude with our song. Would you pray this after me? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you came, died for my sins, that I might have life everlasting. Change me. Give me the strength to walk with you and to get beyond good intentions. I make a stand today to follow you. And I say this so everyone hears, so you can hear me, so I can hear myself, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to him. In Jesus' name I pray. And Lord, that's a cry of our heart. Thank you for the many who will be baptized today, who will make a public stand, get beyond good intentions, and move towards seeing a life filled with success and fruitfulness and a love that's matured. Thank you for each person here. May we continue to walk with you in vibrancy. In Jesus' name we pray. Can you say amen? And thank him who is the author and the finisher of our faith.
I come to glorify you. I identify with you, speak your name as my own.
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Getting Beyond Good Intentions by Pastor Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening. Now you can listen to Words of New Hope anytime on demand. Just go to www.spreaker.com and search on Words of New Hope. That's Spreaker, Spreaker.com. Stream the message or download it to your mobile device and listen on the go. And with a click of a button, you can share Words of New Hope on Facebook, Twitter, or your other social media and help us spread the good news of Jesus Christ to family and friends. That's www.spreaker.com and search on Words of New Hope. Now available 24/7, 365. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
I come to glorify you. Identify with you. Speak your name as my own. I come to crown you King. Your praises I'll sing. I choose to glorify your name. I come to crown you King. Your praises I'll sing. I choose.